Hey guys, what's up? Happy Monday, y'all. More importantly, happy new week. I don't know about y'all, but I actually really like the start of any new week because it is literally fresh opportunity. It's fresh opportunity to right any wrongs. And at the end of the day, it's fresh opportunity to make history, to make new history for yourself or for your family or what have you. So maybe you didn't get everything done that you needed to get done last week, or maybe you did some things that maybe you shouldn't have done. Whatever the case, this is your chance to redeem yourself. It's a fresh week. It's a fresh opportunity, so make the most of it. Believe it or not, this is Mental Health Monday, and so I have been waiting to resume this series, guys. It has been a hot minute since we had a dedicated episode to mental health. And as most of you know, I'm very passionate about any topic related to mental health because it is so crucial to how you experience life. And so before I start blabbering on and getting super excited about today's topics, first things first, I want to welcome you to an all new episode of an all new season of Dr. J's RX for Health. This is season 2, y'all. Let's get started. Welcome to Dr. J's RX for Health, the podcast where good physical and mental health is prescribed instead of today's quick fixes. This show aims to help people improve themselves physically, mentally, and emotionally, covering topics of fitness, mindfulness, and spirituality. Today's how-to talk, goal execution. The key that's helped me the most, and still does today, is keeping a close eye on and envisioning my long-term goals, noting down and executing any daily and weekly goals that I have to hit in order to get me there. Embrace the process. For example, list out what you have to do every day and throughout the week in order to reach your long-term goals. You need to call these the non-negotiables. Hold yourself accountable to these lists and review your progress regularly. This is key. Did I fit my workouts in? Did I choose healthier food options with each meal? Did I reduce my non-productive time, for example, scrolling endlessly through social media? Did I express more gratitude today? Did I share more love than yesterday? Did I live more in the moment this week? Did I kill pessimism, instead speaking positivity and confidence into my life? At the end of each day and week, evaluate whether or not you actually hit your goals. If you didn't, jot down why and how you can correct the issue and ultimately kill the excuse. Remember that these small, seemingly insignificant day-to-day and week-to-week accomplishments will eventually lead you to your long-term goals. Be present. You're improving yourself because life is worth living at your absolute highest capacity. You're eating right because you love nourishing your body. You're lifting strong because you absolutely enjoy it. You're pushing yourself past your limits because it's become super satisfying. Focus on your long-term goals and visions, yes, but remember that the mundane, hour-to-hour actions are what get you there. Don't forget to exercise mindfulness, recalling your personal starting points for motivation, and appreciating the entire journey.
Okay, so this is, are we good to go here? This is all set up. Yeah. All right. What's up, everyone? I want to welcome you to the first episode of season 2 of Dr. J's RX for Health. And I am pumped. I am excited. I am deprived of coffee, believe it or not, but I do think I have enough energy to propel us through this first episode. And let me just start by saying, it is a pleasure being able to continue this conversation with you all and continue this growth journey with you all. And I say conversation because that's the whole goal of the podcast, is to foster two-way communication between me and you guys. And the whole point is when I when I present information, it's so that whoever is listening could benefit from it. If it's, you know, obviously if it's applicable to them, but also, you know, if that person who's listening knows one other person or five other people or like a whole group of people that could benefit from the information, they share it with them, you know? And so that's the whole point, is this podcast isn't, it wasn't birthed out of selfish reasons, but rather selfless reasons. I want to provide y'all with information that has helped me grow and that has helped the people that I've mentored grow. And so I'm hoping the same for y'all, that you can help your circle of influence, because believe it or not, we all have our own circle of influence. We all have our own personal network. And we all know someone who could just use a little nudge or use a little push. Maybe they're going through some really rough patch. And so being able to just provide this information is just, it's an honor and it's a pleasure. And it's fun, guys. It's fun just kind of spending some time and chilling with y'all for a bit, even if it's just for a 30-minute podcast episode. Now, I was laughing at myself like a freak of nature, like right before pressing record, because I should have learned this from season one, but I tend to either drink way too much water or drink way too much coffee immediately before recording an episode. So then I hit myself over the head, because at the halfway point, I start to rush through the information so I could relieve myself. And I don't know why I drink so much water or coffee right before doing these things. And today it sucks because I ate a really huge salad right before pressing record. So if I start burping a lot and all you hear is like, bah, 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 I really do deeply apologize. That wasn't the intent for you guys to hear me just burping. But yeah, I promise I'll do better for episode two. All right, so without further ado and all that nonsense behind us, let's jump into today's first topic, which is why you should disconnect. And let me say this. I think this is the topic that everyone, literally everyone, should listen to, because it applies to literally everyone. Like 100% of the population, 100% of the world's population, I think this applies to them, because compared to people of prior decades and people of prior generations, I think that everyone has now felt a not a pressure, but like a need. I think everyone has a need or has felt a need to stay connected. Okay. And this isn't just for people who are in the busy corporate life. This isn't just for people who are social media celebrities, but it could even be someone like in a still developing country or an underdeveloped nation. As those kinds of people, or as those kinds of countries and the citizens of those countries, as they start to feel the influence of today's modern world, you know, I think that there's going to be even just the slightest influence of this need to connect to modern times. And so like, what exactly am I talking about, right? So it could be anything from like social media, to feeling a need to feel accepted or feel connected. And I hope I'm kind of making sense, at least kind of. If I'm kind of making sense, then I've kind of explained like what is just kind of bursting out of my head right now. But so let's just get into some facts before I start blabbering, right? Now, I don't know about y'all, if y'all know this, but this is something that I found super interesting. Now, today's average person checks their phone about once every 10 minutes, okay? And I don't know if you're going to think that's a lot or not that much, but for me, when I first read that fact, I was like, dang, okay. So that means once in every 10 minutes, I will pick up my phone and kind of mindlessly scroll through it. And I was like, yeah, that actually is true. You know, I tend to do that. Especially especially if it's an off day where I don't have to go into the office or go into the clinic, and I'm just at home. You know, I could just be watching Netflix, and still every 10 minutes I would pick up the phone and just kind of mindlessly check Instagram or check Facebook or check the latest game scores or something, you know? And so I challenge you to kind of do a mental inventory. Is this fact applicable to you? Are you one of the statistics? It's kind of crazy. And here's another thing. The average person uses their phone non-purposely nearly 100 times per day. So remember how I said that I realized how mindlessly I scroll through my phone? Yeah, well, I'm not alone. The average person uses their phone for no purpose whatsoever nearly 100 times per day. So who's guilty of like just seeing their phone lying on the table and you have this compelling need to just pick it up and maybe just to read the time or to see if you got a new email or to see if there's a new reply on Facebook Messenger or something. You know what I mean? It's like, why the heck do we feel this need to always just pick up our phone and look at it? Now, I do honestly think that younger people feel this need more often than older people. Or I could just be assuming that. I don't think that's actually true because, I mean, even my parents, before they had an iPhone, I felt like they did more stuff, you know, more physical stuff. And then once they got an iPhone, which is about like, I don't know, 8 years ago, I do see them doing more stuff, you know, on their phone, just kind of staring at the screen, whether it's playing a game or scrolling through the latest video on Facebook. So yeah, I think this really applies at this day and age. I think it applies to literally everyone. Now, humans are bombarded with information overload to the nth degree. And I honestly don't think it's been more difficult for a person to disconnect from technology. I don't think it's ever been more difficult than now for someone to disconnect. And I think it's because there is just technology all around us. There's just information all around us. And whether we realize that it's information overload, whether we realize that or not, it's just a fact of life. Because that's just what we have progressed to, you know? And even you listening in on this podcast, there are endless amounts of podcasts out there, endless amounts of YouTube channels, endless amounts of things here and there that can grab our attention. But, and there goes my first huge burp, but here's the thing. It's we have to be smart with what we let into our mind. We have to be smart and selective with what we let into our mind, because we only have so much space in our brain. We only have so much storage capacity. And so if we're letting every little thing, every little and large and everything in between, if we're letting every single piece of information crowd our head, you don't know what to do and it paralyzes you, okay? That's the lesson, that's the first lesson right there, is you can't possibly store everything that is coming your way. You can't store all of that in your head because you are going to go crazy. So you need to be selective with what you let into your head. You need to consciously choose to let the positive stuff inhabit your mind, okay? And I say positive, but it could be positive, it could be useful, it could be advantageous, it could be applicable. So all of those adjectives, you know, the information that you store in your head should be useful for you, okay? So ask yourself that. Is what I'm looking at, or is what I'm listening to, or is what I'm wasting my time on, is it useful or is it not really that useful? Because if it's not really useful, just put the damn phone down or turn off the laptop or turn off the TV and go do something that is useful, right? Now, if it's a day of relaxation and just kind of you just want to chill and watch Netflix and look at your phone because you deserve it and it's been a hard week, then by all means, yeah, relax, enjoy yourself. But if you are always connected to social media or to technology, and that's your only means of relaxing, then this podcast really applies, this episode really applies to you. You need to learn how to disconnect, because there are far better things to do to relax than to stay connected and wired in on social media or some kind of streaming service for movies or for music. There's other things you can do, like get outside and just enjoy the beautiful weather, right? Now, so let me see what else I had here really quick. Yes. I also think it's hard. I also think it's extremely difficult for today's person to focus on any one single task than compared to people of prior decades. So what I mean by that is, so me personally, when I sit down to focus on something, whether it's typing up a report or working on a media piece, I did struggle with this at first. I used to have my phone next to me. I used to have a secondary laptop next to me, because sometimes I have my main workstation and then I have a laptop that has like browsers open for like email and messaging clients and whatever. And then I have the TV on in the background that might have like the news or just something light, like a travel show or whatever. And I would, so that's like three different sources of technological information coming at me while I'm trying to do my main task, which is on my main workstation. And so, you know, the minute I get a text message, or the minute I hear a ding on my phone, or the minute I see a new email come in on my secondary laptop, or the minute that there's something interesting on TV, what have you, it's like my mind is subconsciously monitoring each of those information sources rather than just focusing on the one thing that's right under my nose that I should be focusing on, you know? And so, yeah, is that you? Are you struggling with that? Because if I'm not alone in that, let me know. Let me know that I'm not crazy. Like, I think that's something that a lot of people need to learn to do is, yeah, there's value to multitasking. There's value to in being able to do a lot of things at one time. But there's also times when you have to hone in on the one thing that needs to be done, that needs to have your attention. Because if you are always spreading yourself too thin and trying to cover way too many things, that leads to a lot of things, a lot of chronic stuff like elevated stress levels, elevated hormone levels, elevated blood pressure, elevated cortisol levels, and all of that can lead to detrimental things down the road. Inability to sleep properly, inability to get a good night's rest, lack of energy later on in the day if your mental capacity is all taken up in the morning because it's so overloaded with information, you know? So yeah, I think it's important for everyone to realize sometimes it's good to just pull back, right? Now, in this book I'm reading, and I will actually, I'll tell you guys the book and the author in episode two. I just don't have it on me, and I forgot to write it down. But the book I'm reading, it tells you, it instructs you, or encourages you to make a little chart for yourself. And it consists of two columns and two rows. And the two columns, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like, what am I even saying? So the two columns on one, the first one, it's going to say attractive. And then next to that, it's going to say unattractive. And then for your rows, you're going to label the top row productive and then the bottom row unproductive. All right. So it makes this little chart for you. Now, in the first box, this consists of work that is productive. So productive work and attractive, okay? And what we call this is purposeful work. So work that has purpose, okay? So I'll say that again in case that was just confusing, but purposeful work is work that is productive and it's attractive. So we like to do it. We don't mind doing it because it has purpose, right? The box next to that is going to be necessary work. And this consists of work that is productive, but not necessarily attractive. Okay, so it's productive, but it's unattractive work. So this is stuff like filing the paperwork for the day, or taking care of bills, or taking care of generating spreadsheets for your boss. Okay, so it's productive, right? But it's not necessarily stuff that we want to do. It's not really attractive. All right, and then the box below that is unproductive and unattractive work. And we call this unnecessary work. So yeah, that makes sense. Work that's unnecessary. So is it, you know, are you doing stuff that is unproductive and it's not attractive? Yeah, it's not really necessary, right? Now, this is the one that you need to chisel into your heart. Distracting work, okay? So distracting work, it falls into the box where it's attractive. You know, it looks fun. It looks like something you want to do, but it's unproductive. So it doesn't yield any results, okay? That is distracting work. And this is where I think a lot of the stuff we do that takes our attention away from purposeful work, the culprit of that is the distracting work. We start to allot way too much effort and time on work that is distracting rather than work that is purposeful. And this can be so detrimental, obviously, to your productivity, to your effectiveness when trying to, you know, make something high quality. I think you can possibly miss something important or introduce error due to distractions, right? It also really is a detriment to your efficiency. You're not gonna get any one thing done at a good enough rate if you're constantly distracted by something. So I think the culprit of purposeful work is distracting work. So yeah, like I said, I'll give you guys the name of the book and the author so that you can read that chapter on your own, because I don't know if I explained that chart clearly, but yeah. So like I said, the four different types of work: purposeful work, necessary work, unnecessary work, and then the worst of all is distracting work, right? Now, unnecessary work, I don't really know what would be categorized as that, because like, okay, taking a vacation, that's kind of, well, actually no, even that's purposeful, because taking a vacation obviously is attractive, and it's actually kind of productive too, because we all need to get we need to escape the stresses and the busyness of life, you know, every once in a while. So I don't really know what would fall into unnecessary work, but at the end of the day, you know, what I'm trying to say is determine in your life what is distracting, and make sure that you limit that and try to increase instead the amount of work that's purposeful, okay? Now, I personally spent all of last month away from social media. As some of you might know, I was overseas. I was out of the country for most of December. And so that's why I put a pause on everything from like Instagram to this podcast to whatever, just because I wanted to escape all of that and just really enjoy being away and being on my own. I was with people, obviously, but when I say be on my own, I just wanted to let my mind relax and let everything about myself relax for a bit, you know? And it's sad that not everyone can say that they've experienced that. And I'm not talking necessarily about like expensive vacations or crazy extravagant getaways. What I'm saying is I've met people who haven't learned to even just take some time off of work or take time off of school to just sit back and decompress, like truly, fully, genuinely decompress and let your mind just get away from all things technology, all things news, all things negative, all things that are just unnecessary, right? Maybe that's where that fourth category comes in. You know, it's sad that there are some people who have not allowed themselves to experience that. And I totally understand that not everyone has the privilege of being able to ship their children off and just enjoy, you know, a weekend away from children or pets or secondary duties. I totally understand that. But I think at least, at the very, very least, once a year, man, like, just try to spend even one weekend, even if it's in a 365-day time frame, if you could spend one weekend to just 100% get away and allow yourself to breathe, I think that can even be beneficial for, especially for the person who is wired in and stressed out and connected 24/7. Like, yeah, you need to learn to decompress, all right? All right, so let's move on to topic two, why you should execute your goals. Now, I think, now as we start 2019, okay, I want to make this very clear. You guys need to do something that is different if you are not wanting to see the same results as last year. Okay, so if you're a person who has been stuck in the same situation for like 2, 3, 4, or upwards of 10 years, and you're like, you came into this year like, heck yeah, things are gonna be different, and things are gonna be so much better this year. If you are still doing the same exact things as you did all those prior years, there is gonna be absolutely no difference this year, okay? So I need to drive that point home. If you wanna see a different year, if you want this year to be epic and record-breaking, you got to do something different, okay? And how do you do something different? You execute goals. The way you do something different is you set goals that are different and you execute them. You carry them out, okay? Now, here's subpoint one. So why you should execute your goals? Because it keeps you on track, all right? Without hitting any goals, you end up not having anything to measure, right? So as we go through 2019, the reason we have goals for certain months and certain times is so that we can track ourselves, we can measure. So if you don't have goals, the danger becomes there's nothing to track after 3 months or 6 months. You don't know like what progress is being made or what isn't being made. So there has to be measurable progress. Subpoint number two, why you should execute your goals. It keeps you motivated, right? And I think this is the biggest subpoint for me. Like the reason I keep goals is because, you know, come Thanksgiving, I can look back and be like, yeah, this is how I was back in January. This is how my body composition was, or this is the project I was working on back in January, and now look how far it's come. So, and that keeps me motivated, you know. Y'all don't hear these burps, but like, they're like big internal burps. But for me, it's like I can refer back to my personal starting point and see just how far I've come. And that's what keeps me going, you know? So I want that to be what y'all do. You can look back to where you started and realize, heck yeah, I made this much progress. I'm gonna keep going because I don't wanna stop, you know? So yeah, I think a lot of you do this already, but if you're one of the people I talk to on the reg, or if you're a new listener and this is resonating with you, please send a direct message. Let me know your story. I would love to get to know you a little bit more, all right? But yeah, just know that when you get into the hang of things and you get into this routine, it's actually that daily grind and that small improvement you see every single day that becomes your motivation, that becomes the intrinsic motivation. It becomes like something that if you go without, it would drive you nuts. And that's my story, right? I had my dark times. I had my dark periods. And I remember distinctly what kept me going was seeing myself and comparing it to how I was the day prior, or the week prior, or the month prior. And seeing that small progress, you know, it allowed me to just keep trudging forward. And you start off by trudging forward, but then it becomes easier and easier to speed up your pace. And then you start just taking off, and bam, the success you always envisioned, you know, it becomes yours. So yeah, I hope that happens to all of you all. And last but not least, why you should execute your goals. It keeps you accountable. It keeps you accountable, not only to yourself, but also to others who you've identified as your support system. So whether that's your parent, or your one parent, or your two parents, or maybe you have, you know, some step parents, you know, whoever, whether it's friends or your romantic interest, it keeps you accountable. If y'all don't have like a coach, or if you don't have a mentor, I highly recommend that you get one, whether it's a mentor for your specific career field, or a coach if you're getting coached for fitness or dietary reasons, or a counselor for, you know, whatever. I highly recommend that you get someone that you can be accountable to, and someone who can keep tabs on you, because it serves as even more motivation to continue on this journey of growth and improvement, because you don't want to let them down. You know, you don't want to let them down. You don't want to let yourself down. So the more people that you can get as a support system, I highly recommend that you just reach out and form for yourself and establish for yourself a good support system and a network of people who are there for you, right? And, you know, be the same for others. If other people are asking you for help, be available. You know, like I said, it's always about selflessness. We're not just trying to improve ourselves for the sake of improving ourselves, but we're trying to do it so that we can contribute back to society and contribute back to our friends and our loved ones. All right, now our last topic, why you should kill your excuses. Can I just say, I freaking hate excuses. Like, excuses just make me want to rip my skin off, because it just irritates me. It just irritates me when people come up with lame excuses. I guess that could be a whole mixture of things. Like, as a teacher, I hate hearing the most lame excuses from any student. Like, if you don't want to better yourself, like, then why are you even wasting time and money in class, right? Or we've all, you know, there's always a client who comes to the gym, they want to better themselves, they want to lift more, lose weight, whatever, and they end up not following through, even though they've paid for like 6 months of training, for example. Like, why are you going to do that? Like, just get rid of the excuses and just get the shit done. Like, just get the stuff done. Now, subpoint one. Yeah. Why you should kill your excuses? Because no one's got time for that, right? It's a waste of time for you. It's a waste of my time. You know, as adults, everyone has schedules to adhere to. Like, everyone has schedules. Now, some schedules are super busy. Some, you know, people have really chillax schedules. But at the end of the day, everyone has to respect everyone else's time, okay? Because if you don't, that's just bullshit. Like, there's no need to waste other people's time. When I hear people say, like, oh, I don't have time for something, there are literally endless ways that you can make time for whatever it is you think you don't have time for. let's say that you work a 10 to 12 hour work shift, okay? Sure, you do. I always advocate for at the very least 6 hours of sleep, okay? Ideally, you want to get anywhere from 8 to 10 hours of sleep. I personally think anything upwards of 8 hours of sleep is overkill, because you don't want to end up like sleeping half of your life away, you know? So I always say, if you can get like a good solid 6 hours of restful sleep, anywhere between 6 and 8. That's kind of the sweet spot, right? But like, okay, so you work a 10 to 12 hour shift. Let's say that you get, that you're able to do well in the day off of 6 hours of restful sleep. So that gives you some time to do other things, right? And I understand that energy levels would decrease after a 10 to 12 hour shift. I totally understand that. But maybe you can try experimenting with when you do certain things. So maybe you are trying to eat better and lose weight. And maybe the first step in doing that is getting more physical activity in. So maybe you need to spend 30 to 45 minutes walking around your neighborhood or going to the local park or, I don't know, parking a little bit further away from your office. Maybe you can do that first thing in the day when you wake up. Get that walk in, or go to the gym and go, you know, do a 45-minute workout or something. When you're fresh and when you're greeting the day. I know a lot of people who, you know, they wake up and they just absolutely hate it because then they just crawl to the fridge and get breakfast started and crawl to the coffee pot. And then they save working out for after work, okay? And I'm not saying that everyone needs to switch over to working out in the morning. What I'm saying is if you've tried to get into working out and you always have tried to do it after work, maybe you need to do it like first thing in the morning. Because let me just say, guys, when I shifted to that kind of schedule, when I made it a point to get the blood pump, to get the heart pumping and get the blood flowing and just be super alert after waking up, that set the tone for the rest of the day. I had this natural adrenaline, this natural energy high for the rest of, you know, the shift. And I used to work some pretty long shifts too. So, you know, after a long work shift, you definitely do just want to go home and relax. And, you know, I respect the people who can still knock out like a heavy lift session or a really long run after like a 10-hour shift. But me personally, I'd rather just go and collapse on the couch and, you know, eat dinner and take care of some last minute stuff and last minute emails and call it a day. So I say, if you've been trying to get back and into improving yourself physically and working out in the evening or working out after work isn't working for you, then experiment, kind of shift your schedule around a bit. Subpoint two, why you should kill your excuses. Life's too short, y'all. It's just too short to not take advantage of the day and to always push things off to tomorrow. Now let me just say this, like I'm personally not the type of person to plan every single detail of every quarter of every year of every decade of my life. I'm not that kind of person. I don't invest in like all those thick planners that are like as thick as a textbook and you have to, you know, I know for some people that works. Just for me personally, it doesn't. But what I do for myself is I have like this general timeline that I lay out for myself. And as long as I am making certain strides, you know, per week, per month, per quarter, per 6 months, I know that I'm actually progressing in life. So if you're not even doing that at the bare minimum, like if you don't have a general timeline in which you need to get crap done in your life, please, please take a scratch sheet of paper and start scheduling things for yourself, okay? Even if it's just vague and broad, do that at the very least, because then it'll keep you on a productive timeline, right? By certain points in the year, you can look back and be like, okay, yes, I did get that done. Yes, I did take care of that. If you don't have a vague timeline, you're not going to have any kind of measurable progress, like I said earlier. All right. And finally, life is too valuable to not kill the excuses. Life is too valuable. Know this, guys, you're still on this earth and you're still if you're listening to this podcast, right? You are actually still alive. You're still blessed with life. You're still breathing air, all right? And so That should be a gift. That's a gift, guys. Like, life is a gift. You know, I know way too many people who were taken too early. And those people that were taken too, those friends, they had great aspirations. I know this one girl who wanted to be a brain surgeon. And she was the nicest, sweetest individual to walk this earth. And she was taken way too soon. And I know some people who are, you know, I know people today that are still living, obviously, and they're not doing anything with their life. And I'm like, okay, like, what is going on here? Why couldn't it be switched? The person that is, like, not doing anything with their life for, like, 10 years, why are they still living? But this person that wanted to cure people and help people, they were taken way too early. You know, that sounds horrible, right? But you know what I'm talking about. There are some people who just take advantage of the air they're still breathing, who take advantage of even the most valuable things. And it's like, why, right? So life is too valuable, guys. Like, if you still have functioning eyes, functioning ears, if you're still able to physically do amazing things and do stuff with yourself, please, like, take advantage of that and use it to not just help yourself, but to help others, right? And make something of your life. Do something with your life, okay? Like, I hate it when people don't do anything with themselves. Like, all of us, I said this in season one, all of us have significance. All of us have an amazing life story. And whether that's realized yet or not, you know, there's always going to be that one person that you can touch. And so please realize it. Realize that you have value, okay? All right. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. Why you should disconnect, why you should execute your goals, why you should kill your excuses. So if this resonates with you, please reach out. Any questions, reach out, guys. As always, I look forward to the next episode. Love you guys.